happy to be out tonight. Such a wonderful day in the Lord today. Let's stand together. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, every opportunity we get, Lord, that we can come into the quietness of your Spirit. Father, with great anticipation of hearing you speak to us, Lord, bringing your word to us, Lord, the revelation, Lord, being expounded upon our hearts. Father, it goes beyond words what I feel, Lord. I'm so thankful. Lord, I know I don't deserve anything, but it's your grace. So Lord, I pray, Father, each and every one that's gathered here, we pray that you bless them. Lord, feed them, Lord. Father, as we sing a few songs to clear our hearts and our minds, Lord, may you just, Father, touch and deal with each and every one. You promised you're here and you walk amongst us. We just look to you now, Lord. Have your way as we ask in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'd like to start in our only believe books, no capstone books. Amen. Page 80. Sheltered in the arms of God. Amen. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod.
Hey.
are you sheltered in his arms, trusting in his grace. Praise his name. Page 52. Same little book there. Amen. Praise God, I am free.
For a long time I traveled down a dark, lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin and sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out through his saving power.
Amen.
Praise God, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out, show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar who found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out through his holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God, I am free, free, oh, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out, show me the way.
Amen. Are you free? Oh, free indeed by his grace. Amen. Over in our Only Believe books, page 289. Springs of Living Water. Hallelujah.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing marks the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day.
Amen.
Oh, drinking from the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonder. wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Amen. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Amen. Oh, so appreciative. Always done for me. Amen. Brother Hamilton, you have to come up for the offering. Precious Jesus. Amen. That's a blessing.
Lord, you will be known. Lord, you will bless the service. And pray to bless this offering for the community. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Praise his name. This little chorus, he's everything to me. Amen. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Oh, he's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me.
Amen. How many have something on your heart you'd like to take before him? Amen. That's just... hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Brother Pitts, would you take the request this evening?
Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that first you're our protector, and then you're our provider. And you also said, Lord, that you were the Lord our God, that he was all our infirmities.
Yes,
and
Lord,
whatever
Jesus.
People bring to you tonight, Lord, look at their hearts, Lord, and answer their prayers to help them build faith in you.
Yes.
That you want.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? All right. Anybody else have something on your heart? Amen. Any specials? All right. Let's all stand. And if you will, sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
Heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord, we just want to say thank you for this little opportunity to come together. Lord, it's so meaningful in our hearts each time the door is open, Lord, and we get to come together with saints of like precious faith. Lord, just to come in around your precious word, and though there may only be a few of us here this evening, Lord, it's we just ask that you'll take these few words that we'll speak, Lord, and maybe add strength to us, Lord, for your word is spirit and it is life. And Father, we just pray that you'll continue to strengthen us. And Lord, make us better soldiers for you in this late hour, that Lord, our lives would truly be an expression, Father, of your life and your actions in this last few moments of time. And we ask your blessings upon your word, and bless our hearts to the hearing, we pray. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. You know, I kind of had two different messages going, so we're just going to just take a little bit, Lord's will, this evening and just kind of look into the scriptures. But if you want to turn with me to Colossians, the third chapter, and we'll just take a little exhortation tonight. There's not many of us. I know we're few in number here. I'm sure there's some listening in, and just praying that God will strengthen us to our hearts, and we may dwell upon these things and think upon it greater. But we'll just read the first couple verses, and then you can be seated, of Colossians 3 and 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. I've just been thinking a lot as we spoke Sunday morning a little bit on a Christ-like life, and looking at what God is doing and what he's requiring in this age, and realizing God has done such a marvelous work all down through time. For everyone that's been called of God for a purpose, you can go back through these scriptures and start in Genesis and begin to look back. And it's just such a beautiful reflection of God beginning his great plan and watching it unfold down through the Old Testament, seeing it come and Jesus Christ come on the scene at the beginning of the New Testament, and see God's great plan just continue to unfold. And then to see down through each church age all that God has done, and then to see God send a prophet in this last age, and to take all of that word and to gel it together and bring it to a place to where it creates such a beautiful picture that a people, by grace, would have an understanding and a realization of what Jesus Christ came for, why he sent us here, and why we're living here today in this hour of why we've been sent. And not to, you know, as Jesus said when his parents had lost track of him there and they were looking for him, and his comment was, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" He had been sent for a purpose. He recognized his purpose, and that was his soul meaningless in his life. That's everything about his life. That's all he cared about. As even as he told the disciples, "I have meat to eat ye know not of." We see his whole life was just centered around the purpose for which he was sent. And you know, each one of us, as we've said here, and God has called us and placed that desire down in our hearts, how it ought to truly become more of a focus to us as we realize that we're not of this world, but we're just passing through. And to truly see that there's a better place awaiting that's been prepared, and all that God has promised to those that love him and will serve him. And do we serve him because of that? No, by grace we understand that before the world was formed, he placed something down inside of you, yes, that would draw you to the place you are today, that you would be that one that he's chosen in this hour to represent him. As he said in John, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. And you know, when you think about that and you go back, and we can just read it real quick, put it fresh in our hearts in Romans, the 9th chapter. Very familiar, but just good to have it fresh. Romans 9, and we'll just pick up there about the 11th verse of Romans, the 9th chapter. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that hath showed mercy. And the 23rd verse, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but of the Gentiles.
And what a great honor it is, and what a praise it is to see where we're standing tonight and what God is doing for those of us. In each one of us, we've got to see that for ourselves. It's an individual affair. We speak very broadly, but each one of us has to come to that realization that I was called for this purpose. He spoke to my heart and drawed me to where I am tonight. And every word and line and verse in this Bible, he is speaking of me, or he's speaking of you as an individual. And you know, we just see this great picture. And then Brother Branham, he talked about it oftentimes about being a love affair. And we kind of read a quote there Sunday concerning, he caught me when I was nothing. He loved me when I was nothing. Wouldn't my love go back out to him in such a love affair? As we see what he's done for us, the great plan that's unfolded before us, what a love ought to be burning in our hearts. And you know, people, the people around the message have missed so much because they've went so much on emotion. They bring people in and they hype them up and they get them shouting and jumping and they get to feeling really good in themselves. The anointing's falling on the outward man and they feel really good, but they go back out the door and there's nothing to hold them. There's nothing to sustain them. There's not a true love affair. And the word means nothing to them. And you know, it's kind of like drugs and alcohol. It's the same way. When someone's using it, oh, it's a wonderful thing if to them they feel. It's their burdens are gone and they don't think of their troubles and everything has left them. But when that leaves, they're right back to where they were, still stuck in the same old rut. But look at what the God has promised to those that will come and truly taste that he is good, and follow the obedience of the Lord, and to repent in true repentance, and to be baptized, and to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and to have that soul or nature changed, to truly see yourself born again, and to see the desires of your heart totally turned around, the everything about you changed. To what? To a love affair. To a drawing that there's something within you that's bigger than yourself that's drawing you to God's precious word. It's drawing you to a place that you're not entertained to want to be like the world or want to be like they have and do as they do, but there's just such a love affair pulling us. And you know, Brother Branham talked many times about it in the message Identification, and he preached a message, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? And to talk about what a Christian truly is and to have a Christ-like life and to think on these things. And I just would like to read this. Brother Branham made this comment in Identification. And this was paragraph 54 down to about paragraph 58. And this was preached January 23rd, 63. He said, and God had to reveal himself in his attributes and into this person called Christ in order to take death upon himself. As Jehovah, he could not die. So he had to create himself a body. And no woman could produce that body, so his own character. Amen. Excuse me when I think of it. His character projected that lovely person of Jesus Christ. No woman could bring it. Moses' mother, she was Jehoshabed. She was a great woman. So was Rebecca and many of the other women. But none of them could produce this type of character because it was come through sex by a fallen people. But God projected his own body, his dwelling place. That's the reason he was the Son of God, because nothing else could project it. But his own divine character projected this in this tabernacle to express himself in. And we know Brother Branham said he created the egg and the blood cell and placed it inside the womb of Mary. Oh, to make sure that there was no character of Joseph. It wasn't no character of Mary, but it was the character of God that was placed inside. And he took himself away from that great thing that he was. And at his birth, he could have come with a full angel salute. He could have come with chariots and angels of heaven. But he come by the way of a barn. And may that truly be a lesson to us in humility. To realize just how great God is. But how much he humbled himself to come and to take our sins upon his back. And to pay the price for us. And to see that what he was willing, how low he made himself. And even though we stand here today blessed by God, and God has placed in our hearts that desire, and we see what he's calling us to, but may we never get lifted up in thinking we're somebody, but as Paul said, let us think humbly, as God has dealt to each a measure of faith, and to keep that in our hearts ever, that we not get puffed up and begin to think we're somebody in this message. I know the quotes, and I know the scriptures, But let's only focus to one thing, that the humble character of Christ be expressed through our lives. Every character that he had be expressed in us. And so as he goes on here, he says, his love bringing himself down to the lowest. Now you study that character a little bit and then look at yourself. I look at myself, but that's what he was. That's who he was, and that's why he was, to save you. He took to become that you might become him. He took your load of sin. Therefore, when we come to meeting, we will not have to stand. We could not stand in the presence of God. There's no way for us to do it. But when we stand in him, see, he's already recognized the sacrifice. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He recognized it. There was no blemish on him. Yet he suffered temptation like any other man. And yet he was scorned. He was made fun of. He was persecuted from the hour he was born until the hour he died. And yet he returned good for evil. And you know, if you haven't thought about that, you ought to go back and just read through Matthew to John, the situations that he faced with many different ones, just to see that character expressed and to ask ourselves, where do we measure up? Brother Branham, oftentimes he would always say that when he would bring a message, he would say, go back and find a Bible character and measure yourself up. See where you'd have been at in their day. See how you'd have measured up with the character that they had to be. Because it was Christ expressing himself through each one of those men back there. But he says he died and yet he returned good for evil. You cannot in no way ever produce a character like that. Only accepting that character in you. A church cannot do it. A creed cannot do it. A denomination cannot do that. An education cannot do that. It must be a birth. And it's got to be a dying out and let God in. And by the grace of Christ, mold this type of character in you, that you become him, and your life and his is the same. Then you're sons and daughters of God. So I want you to think about just the character that he was expressing. And you know, I thought I wrote down a few scriptures here. If you want to turn with me back to Colossians now, we'll pick back up and read what Paul was saying. And Paul was expressing some of those attributes that he's seen. And was in Christ and in the Word. And as he begins to go down through, we'll just read this whole chapter and just let it speak to our hearts. But we start there at the fourth verse again. And when Christ is our life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetous, which is idolatry, for which things the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, and which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also have put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication out of your mouth. So he's showing us these are not characteristics of Christ. They've been done away with. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Oh, do we truly have a forgiving spirit in us like Christ had? Can we truly overlook the faults of others so much that even though I may be in the right, but I could have enough kindness in me to truly be forgiving and understanding of others, that it wouldn't let it hinder me or make me bitter or affect me in any way, but I could move on, that I wouldn't let a difference between a brother or a difference between a sister hinder the humbleness, the peace, the joy that lays within our hearts. I wouldn't want to do anything that would cause strife with the Holy Spirit or to run him from our midst when we get together. But oh, what a peace and a joy and a humbleness we should have. But you know, sometimes that's why we're not forgiving. And sometimes why we don't have peace and we don't see ourselves as being humble. We don't think more of our brother or our sister than we do of ourselves. And sometimes we get a little puffed up. We get a little lifted up in ourselves. And we think we're just a little bit better. And our attitudes and our reactions will show that. And it'll show that it's not Christ-like. And it'll show that he has not got the full control yet of your life and every situation. But we're looking for this very character in every action. As Brother Branham said, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Our every action should declare him. Every characteristic about us. I wasn't born with the perfect characteristics, no, as a natural birth. But when I become born again and he took over the control seat of my heart, my life, he said, as I to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of this precious word. And how we should truly surrender ourselves greater to that with each passing day. But you know, it's so easy to get our attention focused to the things of the world. And the lifestyles that we live, and oh, I got to have the house, and I've got to have this car, and I got to have this certain thing over here. And we pattern ourselves after the world, and we begin to measure ourselves with the things that we have. We start to get a little prestige. Well, I've got a really nice house. I've got a really nice car. Look at what I've got. What have you got? And it's not intentional sometimes, but we just let those little things begin to mean a little too much to us because we've let our focus get shifted from the purpose for which we were sent for. And Jesus never lost focus of the reason he was sent. And may that truly be us in this last few moments of time. May we truly hone our focus to the purpose for which we've been sent, that every action, every word would be lived through us back in a manifestation to this people. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as fit in the Lord. It's a characteristic of Jesus Christ. Paul was just expounding on it. Just think about it for a moment. If we would just see that all the words that's laying here is God in word form, meant to be a life lived. That's just that verse. We'll move on down. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well and pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. And may that truly be something greater in our hearts, that in everything we do, I might go down to Brother Kevin's and help him fix something on his property or do some work for him as a brother to a brother. But I'm not going down there so Brother Kevin will be super grateful to me or be extra thing. But as I go down there, I realize by helping him, I'm helping a part of Christ. I'm doing something. Living your life for others, Brother Branham said, was Christianity. And think about that. How much do we look at that? Somebody needs a helping hand. Am I willing to lend that helping hand, or do I do it begrudgingly? Or do I truly see that, Lord, let me give it all with diligence and do it as unto you, Lord, that I'm doing these things that you would get the glory and the honor from it. And it would build these greater bonds of brotherly kindness and greater love between each one. Might be a sister to a sister, just using that as an example. It's more like Brother Kevin's coming to help me than I'm going to help him. He seems like I'm always borrowing from him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. So just a good little thought to think about as we, if nothing else, if I just stir your mind to think about it a little greater, is our everyday actions, our everyday walk. You know, there's many people come in our paths in many different situations. And some people just have a way of truly coming along and just really grating you the wrong way. They have a way of, by not even meaning to, They can be a thorn in your side, so to speak. And sometimes, but God knows what we need to mold character in us. He knows what circumstances needs to happen to help us learn to, in obedience, maybe keep our mouths shut and not say something in return. When to still show that brotherly love, even though it's really a heart on this flesh, but there's something down on the inside, not because but out of love. Lord, I want to be like you. But every circumstance is going to come every day. And every day is not going to be a walk in the park. If you ain't having tests and trials, I'd be worried. Because Jesus said everyone would suffer persecution that would live godly. And these things are going to happen. You're going to be faced every day with trials. And Peter said, count them to be more precious than gold, the trying of your faith. And oh, how we should truly watch each day with every circumstance that's coming along. And oh, how we should be able to see ourselves grow. Today, same situation might arise, and I might have to bow my head and say, Lord, forgive me. I failed the test that you've placed in front of me. But maybe the next day or 2 days later, that same thing will come back again. And I might be able to stand there victorious and let the life of Christ express and be able then to raise my hand and say, thank you, Lord, that by your mercy and grace, I see that through you, I am an overcomer. And seeing him take our lives and mold us closer and closer to every word in which we're hearing, but giving him due diligence to let him truly have full sway in our lives. In Philippians, the second chapter, catch this little bit here. Paul was speaking. Amen. Got quite a few. We'll go to Philippians 2. And we'll read down here to about the 16th verse, I believe. Philippians 2 and 1, 16. And if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And oh, as you see, each time Paul was expressing that in each place, and there's many more places, but each time, just that to be harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, holding forth the word of life, and just in humility everywhere, look on the things of others more than the things of yourselves. You see that just being expressed over and over and over, and you can go back into the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can read when Christ was here and see what Paul saw, and you can see what he's referencing. And looking back, you can see all God has done, the characteristics of God, the life that he lived, the life that was projected, and how it should truly just each day overwhelm us to such a measure that, Lord, I've been sent here to be just like you. And every purpose just truly mellowing us out and turning our vision away from this world and the things that are surrounding us and truly putting our focus on what God has sent us for. This was in the Message Unification preached February 16th, 1964. The word molds God's character to us. And anything that's tried to be mixed with that character breaks the mold. You can't mix creed with the word. You can't mix the world with the word. And Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. And mammon means the world. You can't be one or the other. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Is that true? Congregation says amen. He says, then you see you can't mix it. You can't mix oil and water. It just won't mix. You can turn it up and down and do anything you want to, and it won't mix. And your character will not mix with the world if you're being molded in the form of God by letting the mind that was in Christ be in you. That's the control tower, the direction. But now let's look into God's mirror and His Word and identify our present character by some Bible character. And we'll close in just a few minutes now. But identify ourselves. And this is the mirror that you want to do like the little boy did, look into, and let's look into this and see if we can see ourselves reflected by some Bible characters, see what they did under certain circumstances, and see what we're doing. And now get me real close now, see what your present character as a Christian is. And that's, if nothing else this evening, that's kind of my thought. Lord, what's our character? Are we truly weighing ourselves in God's precious word? And every day, in every circumstance we face, it's easy just to get caught up in with, I'm a good person, I go to church, I do all these things, but do we think about it every day, all day long? What's my present character expressing to those around me? What do they see in my life? What do they see reflection? Do they see forgiveness in me? Do they see long-suffering in me? Do they see true brotherly kindness in me? And a sisterly kindness, we'll call it, so to speak, to each other. Do we truly see that great love and the great true fellowship amongst each and every one, those of us that are truly called and underneath that shed blood, but also to those that would do evil against you, do they still see you returning good? Do they still see that same life of Jesus Christ being expressed? You know, I think of the little rich young rulers. We oftentimes read it, but just thinking that Jesus saw his condition, but yet there was something in him that he loved that young man. He knew what was going to be the outcome. But he still had something in him that he loved him. And he wanted him and he told him the truth. And oftentimes people kind of miss what love truly is and how it's corrective. And we'll get into that some other time. That's another message in itself. But how it's so great to see that when you can truly see God in his hand in your life, leading you and guiding you into all paths of righteousness and all whatever it takes, Lord, for my will to break. But let it be to me according to thy will. And how he's just led us each one along. But for this evening, if nothing else, like I said, I just want you to think about the character of God and what it's, and go back and meditate. Go back and read these things that Paul said and let it be fresh in our hearts and truly measure ourselves up and see where we're standing before God. And truly, only you can answer that. God looks at your heart. You know, he knows exactly where you're standing. But oh, may we truly weigh ourselves in the balance. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Won't hold you real long. This is in the Identified Masterpiece of God. This was preached December 5th, 1964. And he was speaking of Jesus here, paragraph 82. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. And if I don't do the works of him that sent me, then you don't have no right to believe me. So ought every Christian today to have that same testimony. If in this promised word of God, if our lives don't qualify and meet exactly what the word said, then we have no right to call ourselves Christians if we're not born again. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not they may, they ought to, they probably will, they shall do. That's the sculptor that made us. That's the church that hewed us out. That's the body of Christ. And we find that it reflected him perfectly. The sculptor now had the word reflected in the masterpiece again, called his son, God Emmanuel. Just think, the person so yielded unto God until God identified himself in there in that body, and he became, him and God became one, and I and the Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me, and I do that always which pleases the Father. What if the Christian today could have a testimony like that? You would be a masterpiece right here in Yuma on the street. If you're a washwoman out here, behind the washtub, you'd still be a masterpiece to God. And when you say, I do that always pleases God, and the whole world can see the works of Jesus Christ reflecting in you. And it's told one time, the old gold, before they had a smelter, they used to take the gold and beat it. in the beater wood, and the Indians in the early days when Arizona was in the youth, they would beat the gold until the beater seen his own reflection in that gold. And they beat all the iron pyrite and the dross and the dirt out of it until the beater could see his own reflection like a mirror beating out of it. And that's what the gospel does. But so many people don't like to be turned over and beat out. What the church needs tonight is a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost beating out of the world and the things of the world. That's what Pentecost needs tonight, and that's what our movements need tonight, is a good old-fashioned gold-turning beating until the world is beat out of us and Jesus Christ is reflected. Let me have this handful of people in here tonight fully considered to Christ and their lives dedicated to Christ, and I can do more with this handful, or God can do more, rather, with this handful of people here than you could do with the whole World Council of Churches towards the kingdom of God. One man surrendered into his hands fully, that's all God needs. But you see, we're not willing to lay still and let him beat this side and that side and knock this out and knock that out and knock this idea out and that let Jesus Christ be reflected in us. We see too many movies and we got too many televisions and we got too many other godly amusements until ungodly amusements until the church has lost its taste to the people. And it's because the Holy Spirit moves out and something else moves in. That's right, friends. But as he's saying, what if we could truly be those ones he was speaking of that was so focused tonight, fully considered to Christ and their lives dedicated to Christ, what God could do with a people like that in his hands. And may that truly be our heart's desire, is Lord, use me. Lord, let me yield myself unto you in such a measure until surrender myself so you can have the full preeminence, the full sway. That we just wouldn't be a church-going people. We wouldn't just be a people that's attached to the message or claim to believe it, but our lives in every aspect, from the way I dress all the way to the very actions that are expressed from this body in every detail, would be Jesus Christ showing forth that his life is being reproduced again through a people. Oh, I pray it'll stir your hearts just a little bit. Amen. It's a small text and maybe not too lengthy. But may God use it to stir our hearts just a little greater for what he'd have for us. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Just praying that something was said that'll stir our hearts. But I'm so thankful that I know him. Amen. He's so real. But let's sing that little chorus, Jesus, Use Me. Amen.
Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, please don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Sing it again. Oh, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, please don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Amen.
Oh, may that be the desire of our hearts. And oh, may we truly be a humble people. And oh, may it shine forth to others the love that God has showed to you. May you be able to impart to someone else. Amen. As we bow our heads, Lord, thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we just are so thankful and appreciative. The Lord, each time we turn the pages and we read and meditate upon the many things that you've said. Lord, as the two walked with you from the way unto Emmaus, Lord, how they said, did not our hearts burn within us as you spoke to us along the way? Lord, we may not be a more exciting, jumping around preacher, Lord. We may not be a fire-breathing, just getting everyone's attention. But Lord, your word is spirit and it is life. And Lord, it truly brings such a joy to the heart of every believer. And Lord, we just pray that these few words tonight would strengthen and encourage. And Lord, we pray for those that couldn't be here this evening that you would bless them and strengthen them, heal their bodies, Lord, and give them rest. Lord, bring them back at the next appointed time if you should tarry. Lord, we just pray for our precious sisters as they're traveling tonight, Lord, that you would keep them safe upon the highways and give them grace. And Lord, just keep your hand upon them. And Father, may our every action, Lord, be truly centered on being just like you. And Father, we just pray you go with us now. We'll never fail to see you receive the glory and the honor for it all in the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, oh, Lord, my will to crumble, though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Amen. May God richly bless you. You're all dismissed.